You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, check out all the good stuff we have there, leading you into the NFL Combine, free agency, draft, all the good stuff here in the off season. It's going to warm up here in the middle of next week when players show up at the Combine ready for their workout. So check out draft, free agency. That's your hub there on Sporting News, and we also have columns up on the proposed NFL playoff expansion here. So maybe potential couple extra games here for us in the wild card round of more chances to play fantasy football, DFS. So that's how we look at it, but it's a good and a bad thing. I have a column up there as well as an explainer of what the playoffs would mean there on Sporting News. So check that out. Here on Locked On Fantasy Football, we're going to continue looking at our team offseason guides. Today we're up to the Philadelphia Eagles, the third team in our first division, the NFC East. Check out what we had to say about the Cowboys and the Giants on the previous two shows. But we move on here with the Eagles, kind of setting the table for what's coming up with the offseason, a fantasy football-centric approach. So we'll dive right into them here. A lot of things that they have to worry about. The number one thing is, how is Carson Wentz going to respond to a new brain trust here? Because remember, a few years ago when they won the Super Bowl, it was that Frank Reich, John DeFilippo brain trust. Now it's down to Press Taylor, Rick Scangarello, and Doug Peterson calling the plays, where they parted ways with the offense coordinator Mike Rowe. Peterson still calling the plays and can control that, but Press Taylor now takes over as the passing game coordinator. So there's different minds, different brain trust to try to push Carson Wentz to the highest level. Last year, we know he was hampered by injuries around him. The funny thing is, he was the guy that was in injury proof there, durable, played all the games, really fought through it, but was dealing with a lot of offensive line woes, was dealing with a very shrinking receiving core. So when you look at Carson Wentz, I think we all thought he could have a massive season here in fantasy football. He was one of the hot sleepers that we were looking at that could really explode there and reach the level of a high-end QB1. Again, no fault of his own. It was just really hard to produce with what was around him there. That's why they wanted to reset the brain trust for him here in 2020. You look at the numbers in 2019, they weren't too bad overall. 27 touchdowns there, only 7 interceptions there. So you could have used a few more touchdowns. Part of it, the Eagles weren't scoring as the same high rate. They didn't have the receiving guys to finish drives necessarily. And you look at Carson Wentz, when he added 243 yards and a touchdown on the ground. So not actually bad, not quite as good as 2017, his breakout year when he had 299 yards rushing, but very similar if you look at it. I mean, not too far removed from what he did. He did actually go over 4,000 passing yards for the first time in his career, but I think the biggest difference is he was missing the 6 touchdowns there from a few years ago. But other than that, I mean, he was close to living up to expectations. The thing that they need to work on a little bit is getting him the ball downfield. If it was very compressed passing game last year, that hurt, where the numbers could have been even greater. When you look at the fact that he had 607 attempts there, the same amount as his rookie season. And you saw there, rookie year 6.2 yards per attempt. This year was 6.7 yards per attempt. So very similar numbers, but you want him to push it. And when he pushed it downfield in those middle 2 years, 7.5 and 7.7 yards per attempt. So that clearly was his wheelhouse. Things kind of started to fall apart without the guys that got him there and losing the brain drain. It's going to have an effect on a quarterback, and that's what you saw. So they really like Press Taylor. He's Again, the brother there of Zach Taylor, your Bengals offensive-minded head coach. So they liked him. They like his innovative style. They like Scangarello, who before working as the Broncos offensive coordinator last year was the quarterback's coach for the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan. So there's a lot of things to like there about Wentz putting things together. I think the biggest takeaway is he did play all 16 games, first time since his rookie season, finishing at that high level. I think some people say he's injury prone, but you look at the way things have worked out the previous two seasons, the injuries came at the end, and I think he was a little bit better about being careful. He didn't just run into harm's way. Even with the pass protection breaking down, he took 37 sacks here. That is definitely a career high, and part of it was like Jason Peters being hurt, Delane Johnson being hurt. So there were definitely things tied that limited his production. And so that tells you where he could have gone if the wide receivers were cooperating, he had the right protection. I would expect those numbers to go up. And again, Taylor is going to be a good influence on him. I feel just as confident with the Reich DeFilippo Peterson combination here that I do with Taylor in a more prominent role without Groh there. I think you'll see the aggressive downfield throwing return. That was a big element of the Eagles passing game that was missing last year. And to that end, that's the first place we'll look at here before we take our first break at their priority around Carson Wentz. You look at wide receiver, Alshon Jeffrey's getting a little older. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, as a rookie, didn't show necessarily he could be Alshon Jeffrey's successor. There's that big target going up to get the ball. DeSean Jackson, all kinds of injuries here. He wants to do his thing and return at a high level for Philadelphia, but again, he's getting older, he's slowing down, he's coming off the injury here, so definitely a lot of concern on what DeSean Jackson has left here for this team. And Nelson Agholor, who has been very valuable for Carson Wentz in the past, working the slot, really faded last year. He's a free agent, expected to leave here. So they really have to consider wide receiver as a high priority there. In free agency, you can look at Breshad Perriman and Robbie Anderson. Both of those guys fit the profile of players who can stretch the field, much younger, 26 years old, than DeSean Jackson. So those would be nice assets to have here for the Eagles passing game. So it's not going to be just the personnel and the coaching. It's got to be a combination of both to really bring out the best and get Wentz back to the truly elite fantasy quarterback level where he was scratching the surface of that despite all the limitations in that Eagles offense. So you look at Perriman and Anderson. You look at some potential in the draft to go after that position. Wide receiver is going to be a high priority. And at tight end, I think you might see a bit of a changing of the guard. Not completely, but Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, they're more equal than we think here in their production. It's a lot of maybe the two tight end sets there that work. We saw Scangarello work with Noah Fant pretty well in Denver. And then we know what George Kittle did when he was with that staff with Kyle Shanahan the breakout year. So that could really help Dallas Goedert and being a big part of this offense with Zach Ertz, because they're going to lose, regardless, a part of their offense with Agholor losing in the slot, maybe trying to upgrade from Jackson Jeffrey on the outside. Greg Ward Jr., the converted Houston Cougars quarterback, was in the mix, and he played pretty well. See if there's a role that he can carve out. See if Arcega-Whiteside is going to get a chance here. But I expect, however you slice it, Dallas Goedert with Zach Ertz is going to have a bigger role as maybe they shift to more two tight end sets versus going to 11 personnel minus Agholor here. So it doesn't put as much pressure on them to find both a field stretching and slot solution here at the same time. So there you have a look at the Eagles' pressing issue there with Press Taylor and Carson Wentz and the passing game. We'll break down a little bit more of what they're looking at offensively here in a moment. But first, I got to tell you, check out all the great shows on the Locked On Network, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, college sports. We've got you covered with whatever sport you love, whatever time of year it is. We're going to always be bringing it to you year-round. So check us out, and all our great hosts are here for you and to give you the insight you need to know about your sport and your team every day. We'll be right back here to break down the Eagles and the running game concerns in 2020. All right, that's the next thing on their list as we break down the 2020 Eagles offseason. We talked about what's next for Wentz with the new adjusted coaching staff, maybe a big change at wide receiver. Now we've got to look at the backfield where Jordan Howard is a free agent as well. I don't think he's going to return here. Miles Sanders looked pretty good down the stretch. They found a nice little change of pace guy, maybe in that Sproles role as Darren fades and is out of the league, and Corey Clement is hurting here in Boston Scott. So we know that he came on strong there at the end of last season. So you got Clement as a restricted free agent. So we'll see if they tender him and decide to keep him there. Sproles definitely running into retirement, and Howard just too one-dimensional there to keep as a back. He was very productive. Remember, he did score those 7 touchdowns there in 11 games before he had the shoulder injury for the Eagles. So there's that, and he was appealing. They didn't give up too much to acquire him from the Bears. They wanted that combination they had with LeGarrette Blount and others the year before, but it turned out that Sanders and Scott were the revelations in the backfield down the stretch. Really, with Howard's injury, it opened the door for Sanders, and I think Sanders is going to be on everyone's list as a big breakout potential player here in 2020 because he can also catch passes, run well, finish drives, and he really came on strong. So I would expect he's going to be in the conversation depending on what happens with Clement, if they keep him, tender him, or lose him, and Scott, if he's the next best option. Sanders could be seeing a very heavy workload. I know they've been more committee-like since Peterson has been there, but Sanders really showed something with the burst in the second half of last season, and I think he'll be a centerpiece of this offense because he gives them a little bit of everything. He's not limited to being a receiving back. He's not limited to being a power back. He does a lot of both well. He can finish drives as well. So Miles Sanders is the biggest upside here, and we'll see how they pair it with him here, whether it's Scott in the mix right behind him or if they go out and get someone in the draft or free agency who can kind of complement. Maybe a Chris Thompson type is out there, their Redskins free agent. Maybe they cross over and look at him and some of the things he could do. You do see Scangarello coming from the Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman situation there in Denver, so that's something to consider. So we'll see how that plays out, but for right now, Sanders has a lot of high appeal in this rushing attack. Now, on the offensive line, we know Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, these are some guys that they need to think about replacing here soon. They did get banged up front. When you look at their issues, Peters is a free agent here, so he could be on his way out as he is now 38. Halepu'uti Vaitai, a viable guard, a swing guy that has played at different positions, including tackle, he's also a free agent. So definitely some things that are in flux there. Behind Carson Wentz, you've got your two quarterbacks there as concerns. You have Nate Sudfeld and Josh McCown, so you could have a different backup situation as both of those guys are free agents as well for 2020. Now, looking elsewhere defensively, I mean, they just released Nigel Bradham. They have Kamu Guglielminhill is the other linebacker that is heading to free agency. And Malcolm Jenkins is a club option on him. Rodney McLeod, the other safety, has got an unrestricted tag. Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby are also free agents on this team. So could be a big shakeup in the secondary for the Eagles and a linebacker as well coming. So those are going to be some areas of shakeup, and that's the defensive concerns here and where they might spend. And you look at the Eagles right now, they're at 44-ish million, close to $45 million under the salary cap. So it's not going to be a team that's going to be going wild in free agency, but it certainly has enough money there to make a move for a player like Perryman or Anderson as the one kind of significant move that can change the course of this offense. Defensively, I don't see them spending too much in free agency. If they do, they're going to try to keep some of their players so their secondary suddenly doesn't get too depleted here overall. But their mainline players are okay. I think linebacker is going to be something they address. I think they'll have to keep Jenkins if McLeod walks. And again, if Darby and Mills both go, then corner is going to be just as important as wide receiver in the draft. And that's where you look at the Eagles went picking there right in the first playoff position in the 20s. There's certainly a team that's going to weigh wide receiver versus cornerback when we get to that spot in the draft. And again, a team that's going to go under some transition here. They have the building blocks in place to be a strong Super Bowl contender. And that's what you want from this team. Offensively, I think this is where the strength is going to lie, because they're going to have to rebuild quite a bit for Jim Schwartz. So when you look at his outlook, I'm really excited to see what they do at wide receiver, how they shore up offensive line a little bit to make sure they're steady up there, how they incorporate Goddard in this new offense, tweaked offense, I should say, with Doug Peterson, and go from there. So there you have a look at the Eagles. We'll have our final thoughts and what's coming up here for the Eagles in terms of what else they'll be thinking here in the offseason to help their fantasy football prospects. But first, I got to tell you that if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans, but you may not know that Locked On Fantasy Football is a great way for your business to reach passionate sports fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, not any just podcast listener. Locked On podcast listener, if your company wants to connect with fantasy football fans and predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. Let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team to achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you on all our shows here, especially on the NFL channel. We'll be right back here to break down the final thoughts for Eagles and their upcoming offseason problems. All right, Eagles, plenty of concerns here, as we mentioned. This team is rather going to be intact here going forward, so that's good from a fantasy football perspective. Again, the upside is only there for this team. Wentz scratching the surface, Sanders on the low part of his production here. We're excited to see what can happen to wide receiver. Dallas Goedert having some value as a potential co-tight end one with Zach Ertz. So, again, the issues are there. They got to shore up the back of their defense, the front of their offense. If they can put those together, I think the Eagles can be very successful, not just limp in as the winners of a weak NFC East once again in the playoffs. I think they can be effective, score more points, not grind things out in ugly fashion, go back to what we saw a couple years ago when Wentz was healthy for most of the season. They won the Super Bowl in the end with Nick Foles. I think there's always that potential for this Eagles team. This is a critical offseason with Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson to get there, but we should have full confidence that they can. Now, in terms of the draft, in terms of specific players they would go after, I think you look at Henry Ruggs III from Alabama with a lot of speed there. T. Higgins from Clemson is another option. Justin Jefferson there from LSU. So those type of receivers, the guys can take the top off of defense, but also run some steady routes and learn well in this offense, be versatile with some inside-outside capabilities as well. So that's where I think Higgins and Ruggs come in, that they can line up everywhere, do some damage there. And they came from two big play offenses there in Alabama and Clemson, respectively. So those are targets as well. They could look at different guys at corner, maybe Curtis Henderson there of Florida, somebody that can be an impact player on the back end. So you look there, Grant Delpit is going to come into play, the safety from LSU, if he's available at that spot as well. There's Christian Fulton. You might have to make a move up to get him if you're Eagles, and make sure you lock him from one part of the LSU team, whether it's a secondary or wide receiver core. Those would be good targets here for the Eagles. Again, they've got decent amount of draft capital, decent amount of salary cap space. They can make some tweak moves. I wouldn't expect any big splashes, but again, the Eagles don't need that to get to the level we're looking for in fantasy football here in 2020. So overall, you'd have to say the Eagles rate out pretty well. The Cowboys and Giants, we said were on an uptick with their offensive situations and the way their skilled players fell around their quarterback. Well, that's the same thing for the Eagles, a little bit more established. Maybe the names changed a little bit with Sanders and their wide receiver big play guy, TBD, if it's not Jackson or Jeffrey there going forward for Wentz. So it gets on the same page as those guys. I think there's a lot of promise here for the Eagles offense. So uptick galore here in the NFC East. The next team we know we'll talk about is the Washington Redskins, a team that's undergoing a complete transition with a new head coach as well, joining the Giants there, Ron Rivera taking over, and Scott Turner. So basically the Panthers' brain trust coming over to run the Redskins here in 2020. So we'll talk in depth about that team to finish our look at the division again. We're going to get to every division here as we get through the weeks here of the offseason, as we go through free agency and the NFL draft. A lot more stuff coming for you there. And don't forget, we'll have a new mock draft as well next week to break down for you as the NFL Combine begins. So we might have a little draft interlude there as we go through the teams, but definitely the Redskins are on deck. And then, you know, if we go from there, it's going to be the Chicago Bears as we go to the NFC North. So we'll get to every team. We'll break them down in depth for you, look at them from a fantasy football perspective, but also keep in mind the reality ramifications about what's happened in this critical part of the 2020 NFL offseason. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. This is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time with a look at the Redskins' 2020 offseason guide.